listening now to our time in the Word, on the screen can see, would Jesus go to church?
It's an interesting question to come and talk about my message. David gave it to me. Jesus, the one, the Christ, from whom we get the title of Christian, seems like the most likely person that we find in church, because he's the reason as well. But he's also probably the one who needs to be in church the least, because he's perfect. His relationship with God is perfect. So, why would Jesus need to go to church? Would he? Does he? Why would I need to go to church? If I knew why, would I know what? These are some of the types of questions that I want to at least address, whether we answer them directly or not. A little bit about me. I grew up here in Las Cruces. I'm not allowed. I was a Starbucks member, a Starbucks member. My family and I have gone to the same church, sat in the same row. We sat in the third row from the front, in the first middle section. And my dad sat on the end, and my mom next to him. And then I, to the best of my ability, was out to next to my mom. She's in the second middle of my family. I went to start with my mom. But also, she would give up on going to church, and I had four brothers, so sometimes we're going to make our envelope to the end of the row, and my oldest brother's back. So we would go every Sunday, we were regular attenders, we had our spot, we would listen to worship, we would sing songs, hear the message, and that was my church experience, but I was like, no, that's not my role in church. Well, that was a school night experience. I always work in different folks in the same general area. My family's in other areas were grown up, and often there's a lot of college students in the same area, but that's not bad. And that's what we're doing. Well, if you think about church, we need to take a look at what church is using. Thinking about attendance and having a spot, what is in that? It's got to be robust to understand what church is. And I think in Ephesians, give us even just a few verses of a deeper sense of what church is. Presence in church is necessary and important, absolutely, but a part of it. And it would be impossible to book up every description or image or metaphor for church that we build on the couple in the time that we have tonight. So I'm not even going to try. We will be talking about it in the describing the church as many things, looking to a body, there's the church up into a bride, children into a field to life. There's so many things that we see as a moment in the church. We're probably going to be able to reflect in a moment and we'll continue to be human. But regardless of how the church is felt metaphorically in the New Testament, so we can talk about understanding something that I have to learn from what in the original language, when we come with the word of this church, the vast majority of that is in reference to the local church, so a physical, tangible, organized group of Christ followers. But the book of Ephesians, many of the letters in the New Testament are written to specific people. They're written with a specific purpose, and intended to be a following specific letters. But instructions for the church, so we receive outside of the book of Ephesians, the book of Acts, Philippians, Bible, give us really, really concrete and definite instructions. So it's important we understand the listening of the church, even as we begin our conversation with Ephesians. But, even if we talk about that, I'll talk about the man who is God, who is world, we can acknowledge and understand that God is really majestic and powerful. In his majesty, he defiles people like you and I into eternity with him. And so, in some sense, we can understand that the church refers to every believer at every time and every place. And the Bible gives him the dreams by the blood of Jesus, saved from the consequences of our breath, of our submission, of our breath, and of our sins. But that's why I was going out and checking out the dreams. talking about the Egypt and seeing where Israel worship together. In the book of Revelation, we see the people from every tribe and nation, language, and tongue, are represented in the book of Revelation. So, you are one of us, have the strength, have the belief to look at the level of the people of God who are. So, we need to understand that the overwhelming majority of us, the 100 times, church is referenced in the New Testament. What that refers to in the physical ice spiral, so we'll understand that those ice spirals have an internal line of focus on the historical story. So then we want to talk about when people can see them. If you need a Bible, someone has some of the things, have them down and write up them in the form. We're actually wrapping up chapter 1 of Ephesians for about after 9 or 10 weeks in chapter 1. We're there. And we'll begin the Bible in chapter 2 next week. But between here, verses 22 and 23, and for our things with his feet, and they came to trouble for our things with his feet, which is the body, the fruit of things with full power. And we'll look at other passages in Ephesians as well, but we're going to camp out in these first two verses for a little bit of time. But the first thing I actually want to focus on tonight is pretty explicit in the verse, in the book. Church is the body of Jesus. What does that mean? Well, you may be familiar with the story of Jesus, the story of a baby, which was purchased by the Pope 30-some odd years later, died on the cross, the body was placed in the tomb, and ruled over the world of sin. But the body was not on the earth. So what does that mean, the church? Well, the body of Jesus. Does it mean that Jesus, the Son of God, is the head who was and is and is to kind of come out incomplete without us as his body? Of course, that's not the case. We, by our own power, brought nothing into the world. We can't take anything out of it. So, we don't make Jesus more complete than he already is in himself. But you have to have, you need to look some pretty gracious to use simple imagery. Probably what it means to be the body of Christ. All of us have hubs. Like, I have a hub. They wouldn't just have a hub. So they have hubs. And so we're familiar with what this is like. So when we grab some, perform the crucial function that allows us to be people. The crucial function of being comes from our hub is we to hear and see and touch and interact with the world. I hub is the center of our processing and its functioning, but and it isn't only the way that we understand the world around us, it's also the thing that tells us what other parts of our body what to do and how to move. Our head understands what we see and tells us what we're pulled or away from. Or it tells us that lift things and move them or simply observe and do not see. Our head also tells us, it helps us understand what we hear and enables us to make words and sentences that make sense relevant our situation. Our head understands what we eat and how the good of our thing is good for us or which we're good by. But anyway, the verses leading up to this passage and verses elsewhere in Scripture, in places like the Great Commission in Matthew 28, assert that Jesus has our authority in heaven and on earth. And in Ephesians here, specifically tells us that the church exists and functions in submission to him and to the world. Paul also tells us that our functions are to perform the things that he desires. So the church is rightly the church. Jesus is the one, by our help, who enables us to see the world and understand how to move and interact with it. He's also the one that feels when we hear truth and lies, the one who enables us to discern the difference between the two. Jesus is the one who, or in whom we understand what is spiritual nourishing and what is unhealthy for our spirit. We know Jesus by what we see of him and by the words of the scripture. We understand that what we're able to understand about him through reading the word and kind of prayer, listening and receiving and feeding with the Holy Spirit. Like I mentioned in the beginning of our time when I'm searching records for my testimony, the first two say physical pain and the unbelievable pain. The principle of the Jesus is rising ahead of each individual ordinary sense of believers. And each believer himself is extended and his word ahead of every battle brings to us that he's ahead of the universal church. Ahead of both. We need to understand both. We need to both aspects of that and we participate as part of the battle. Considering the imagery of Jesus as the head of the church, chapter 4 of Hebrews gave a verbal parable, in verses 15 and 16, well, for me, the body, well, to grow up in every well into him who is the head, into Christ. For whom the full body, joined and held together by every joint, was looking for foot, and each part is working properly. And makes the body grow, so it grows itself up in life. So we understood a moment ago, that Jesus in his godliness, even a little mention in terms of our partnership, lacks nothing in terms of resources and care for and maturity. There's nothing that he doesn't fulfill in himself. As such, the head of this body, Jesus is a whole lot more mature and a lot more prepared for life in this world than we are. So we, the body of Christ, will go and submit to a vertical full service. We grow as individuals and mature in the world of what he's needed to. Which leads into the second thing I want to talk about today. That not only is the church the body, right? The church is unified by Christ. Up until now, we've always talked about Jesus and his role as the head over the body of a single entity, a piece of meat. But as it turns out in Ephesians 4, the body of Christ, in order to really do what it's intended to, requires for each individual member to be united and have a well of health and will of purpose. But in these, we gracious use simple images that we can understand. We all have heads, we all have bodies. We understand that our bodies, though, are not little cohesive, though, for one single thing, they're made up of several smaller parts, perhaps specific and intentional parts. Our hands are big for lifting and moving and lifting things, high fives and handshakes. Some people's hands are probably good for things like surgery. But hands can do any of these things if they're disconnected. And the other purposefully divine parts of the body. Feet, like other people standing and walking and running and jumping, shall not be destroyed. They provide the body a sound footing for the lack of a better word, but their resource, unless they're attached to the legs, will enable them to move from one place to another. This is one of the top points out of both of these passages. So we grow and mature into Christ. It's important that each individual member understands. And for him, Jesus directs the whole body to what to do. And then as well, what each individual part needs to do in order to move the body forward, to support the soul. Ultimately, what each member needs in order to be unified to each other is Jesus himself. We understand what the Bible teaches, but when a person turns from their sin, any person, you or I, or anyone, turns from their sin and trusts in Jesus as the only true way to know God and be right with him. The Spirit of God dwells in that person. He literally takes up residence in the heart and lives of the people who trust in him. In another book in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 15 and 19, we read, as the rest of the believers, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Pastor H.B. Charles Jr. puts it this way, in discussing the unity of believers. Because if I'm saying, well, the Holy Spirit is in me, and the Holy Spirit is in you, and the Holy Spirit in you is not going to tell you to not have anything to do with the Holy Spirit in you. If the Holy Spirit is in us, he will cause us to love one another. The Jesus in you will love the Jesus in you. When we read that Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body, the fullness of Him for a while on earth. And we understand that it's not by human effort or merit or anything that we do that the church exists and continues to function. It's only because Jesus, who is perfect in every way, unites each person to each other under the same banner of His gospel. This is going to be one of the things that we continue to see as we look through the remaining outcropping of Ephesians. That God unites people in one body, and unites but one body to Himself, to Jesus. So we continue to look in chapters 2 and 6, and we continue to see. The last one I talk about, I think we need to mention one more about what we've touched on, is the purpose of the church. Talk about the church being the body of Christ, submitting to His direction and His intention. We also talk about each believer being united to each other under the banner of God's grace, salvation in Jesus. We haven't yet talked about what the actual purpose is of the church being united, rather than exists, or what purpose is Jesus is ahead. That's what I'd like to talk to you for the last few minutes tonight. But the church receives purpose from Jesus. We can begin at Ephesians 1:23. There's really not terribly much to discuss about the purpose of the church. But the verse may be such words. Well, if you're such words, you continue to allow the image of the body of Jesus to enlighten. You can learn a lot about it. God's church, given by Jesus, is not only unified by Him and to Him, but actually embodies Him in a physical way to the world. This is why it's important that we think about church not only in a universal sense, as though the church is every believer who existed from the past and the present and the future and our places. That's good, that's true. But it's important we understand that the church is physically the organized and strategic way in which the Lord intends to reach the world. Throughout Scripture, in the Old Testament and the New, God's primary purpose, His primary focus, is His glory. And He desires that for our people and our folks, all the seven partnerships that we mentioned and the ones that we don't have, He desires what our people do. Know Him for the praise of His glory. This is likewise the primary purpose of the church. God created people in His image and them to look out and say, He's very good. He's glorified when these image bearing people that He's created trust Him and know Him and live with Him. But the reality is in the world of the world is that we are vast numbers of image-born people who do not know God. They're not filled with the Spirit. They don't know Jesus and they're not part of the church, local or universal. And this is where the church finds its purpose. The purpose of the church is to embody Jesus in a spiritual and in a physical sense. For to embody Him and to direct us into the world, to bring people who are lost and welcome Him in. We don't have time, but we want to turn tonight to walk through every expression of this the church has in detail. But it's important for us to understand that every aspect of church and every function of the church should be focused and purpose to the glory of the Lord and to bring lost people in to do the same. This is why the church gives money, not because people expect people to pay dues, but because we understand that what we have is already below, and He knows best how to accomplish His purposes with it. It's why we give food and clothing, not because we have such a whole world about helping people, but we express the love of the world to the people who bear His image so that they can know Him. It's why the church teaches Scripture, so that not only have to tough, but so that every member, every part of the body, whatever function is performing, can feel we can actually convey the truth of the message to God. It's why the church needs missionaries. It's why we have partnerships for us. It's why we live in other countries. Not because we want to, people to work and behave like us, that would have been that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and that no person in any place can be profiled but through him. That is glorified by the church, and we understand the purpose of the church in a local person and in the universal world. We can talk a lot about different aspects of church, different church relationships and interactions, and that might be a good discussion for another time. But
to begin to wrap this up, the question on the screen is, would Jesus come to church? And we didn't answer that. I didn't really need to spend much time talking about it. In the gospel accounts, though, we see Jesus frequently visits the synagogues for one reason or another. So, sure, Jesus would likely come to church. Whether he'd sit in the third row and steal my slime on, I don't know. But in a real sense, Jesus is already there in the church. He's in the church because he's the head of the church when it's functioning as the church rightly. As the head, he expects people who are in his body to follow him and join him in obedience. So a better question for our application, rather than would Jesus go to church, would likely be would the church go to Jesus? And I say that not to cloud a specific congregation or person or movement or anything, but really as an act of reflection for those of us who are already believers. If we claim to know Jesus, we're called to embody Jesus in a lost world, and by the nature of our Savior, are unified to each other and to follow God. Will we submit to the things that he tells, that he instructs us, that he knows is good for us? Will we continue to choose to submit in light of the changing world and in light of tradition? These are important things for us to consider in a personal and local and tangible way. Will we come alongside our fellow members in the body and help each other to accomplish the tasks that we've all been given? It's fitting tonight that it's Halloween. I didn't dress up, and I know that many people did, but in our world, we see a lot of, especially today and in this season, we see a lot of kind of macabre imagery and decorations or movies. It's not uncommon to see decorations of a bloody hand or a leg or a head or whatever severed and detached from the body. And we know that these are decorations, hopefully. But we also know that in a real sense, if we were to come into the building today, and if we were to see severed hands on the chairs here, even though that's revolting, that is not the way it was intended to be, that's wrong. For we who are in the church, it should be equally as confusing and shocking for someone who declares to know Jesus to attempt to function apart from the body that's designed to give it life. We should do everything we can to bring that part back into the fold, to give it ability, because apart from Jesus, we, even as believers, can accomplish nothing. He's instructed us to be a part of his church. Here at Challenge, everything we do corporately and everything we seek to do individually is intended to bring glory to the Lord as we function as individual members in the body. We meet in one-to-one discipleship so that each of us can become more mature as individuals in our knowledge and in our practice. We go on campus in pairs of two to declare the gospel so that the body, as we contribute to it, will become more skilled and equipped to declare the truth of Jesus, and that our fellow Aggies will come to know him. We send students to Denver, like we saw in the video today, so that they will grow and train each other well, so that when they go after the season of life, they'll be able to continue to function. This whole discussion about partnerships and international teams and missions only happens because we seek to see people of every tribe and nation and people and language worshiping the one true God. We do these things because Jesus is the head over us. And so we desire the things that he desires, and we use our functions, our capabilities to move towards those things. And yet, as a caveat, we at Challenge would confidently remind each other that this here tonight, this is not the church. We are not a church at Christian Challenge. Christian Challenge is the ministry of the church, and we work with the churches in Las Cruces, but it's so, so important for us to understand that this place, though it is good and it trains us, is intended to send us into the bodies, the local, organized, functioning bodies of the church that exist after college. If this becomes the only place where we learn and we grow, we hear from our peers and from a handful of older people like David or other staff, that after college, it's over. The church is eternal. The church is headed by Jesus, and we, as members of Christian Challenge, need to also be functioning and healthy members of churches. So if you have questions about that tonight, come talk to me or David or anyone on staff. We would love to have you come to church with us, to connect you with a church in the city, with men and women who are older than us and children who are younger, from whom we can learn. We're going to finish out the semester in Ephesians and begin to work our way into chapter 2 next week, like I said. As we continue to look at the grace and unity in Jesus in the next few weeks, I hope you'll continue to join us. As the band is coming up, we'll sing a couple more songs, but if you're a believer, I'd ask you to consider where you are with the Lord and your commitment to the church. If you are part of the body, I'd encourage you to function well, to understand your purpose, your anchor, where you're connected. If you know of believers, even yourself, if you're a hand on a chair, don't continue to be a hand on a chair, but connect to the body that you're intended to be with and function through. If you don't know what we're talking about at all, if this is all new to you, if you don't know Jesus, know him. Jesus desires to know you. And the truth of the gospel is that no one can come to the Father except through him. And tonight, it's as easy as simply asking him to know you. So, as we're singing, I'd encourage you to talk to the Lord, talk to someone next to you, or come talk to me or David or somebody afterwards. But that's all I have for tonight. And just pray with me, and band will lead us in a few more songs. Father, we thank you for today. God, we thank you that you guide and direct us. God, we thank you that you give us a body that can refine and challenge and grow us. God, we thank you that you desire maturity for us. We ask, God, that you help us as individual members to know you better, to serve you better, and to accomplish your purposes in this world. And God, we ask you, through the body represented in this room, God, that you would draw people to salvation. Lost Aggies and Londoners and East Asian people would know the truth of your saving grace. Jesus, we love you. You're the only reason we're here. And it's your name that we pray. Amen.